Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. BBC reporting. Tens of thousands of Serbs have joined protests against gun violence in the capital, Belgrade, and another city after two mass shootings. These mass shootings came over these last days. The protesters are demanding that top government officials resign. They want newspapers and TV stations that they say promote violence to be shut down. Serbia's President Aleksandar Vučić condemned the protests. I welcome Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's my guide on the Western Balkans, especially Serbia. This is a nation of less than 7 million people. Kosovo, if added into this mix, it's a little more than 8 million people. It is surrounded, however, by many nations with many intentions. Serbia itself, the capital in Belgrade, is an anchor for tradition in the area. Therefore, the news of these two mass shootings was a surprise to everyone. Ivana, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. There's no one explanation offered right now. Were you also surprised at the news of the mass murder? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me. You know, as someone who was born in Belgrade, I have to tell you, I was absolutely shocked to see that 17 people died in two in the shootings, both on Wednesday and last Thursday, including 8 children in a primary school. And this has caused, some people claim, 50,000 people to take to the streets yesterday in Belgrade and to demand this government to resign, but also to restrict violence on TV, et cetera, et cetera. People were absolutely shocked all over the Serbia with the government response to this thing. This was absolutely politicized because let me tell you the ugly truth. This government that is in power right now in Serbia, the only thing that they care about is to absolutely remain in power. And no matter what, they have been weaponizing everything, including the latest mass protests, calling people really, really awful names, saying, you know, and gaslighting and twisting the truth that they just rally to overthrow the government. I have to tell you something, like these mass protests, I've been monitoring the information space very closely. There are a lot of course, you know, pro-right, pro-far-right people, but also far-left people, people who are pro-Russia, but also pro-Western. So many people have come united towards one mutual goal, which is people are tired of this government promoting violence and strengthening nationalism in Serbia that had caused lots of young people to resort, you know, to use weapons because even though these were like mass shootings, I have to tell you, over the course of the past few years, lots of people have been killed. Many women have been killed. Like a femicide in Serbia is on the rise. And that's in my part. Of course, you know, you have the personal responsibility of parents and how they raise their kids, but also the government and the way that they shape the media, et cetera, et cetera. This has caused this horrible situation in Serbia. So I'm absolutely not surprised that a lot of people have taken to the streets. As a matter of fact, there will be another protest this Friday.
There's a twist to this. Serbia has the highest rates of gun ownership in Europe, according to the BBC. A 2018 survey suggests there are 39 guns for every 100 people in Serbia, the vast majority unlicensed. However, the president, Vučić, has started a one-month amnesty for surrendering illegal weapons, with people able to drop off their guns to police. The amnesty will last 30 days. Is Vučić confiscating weapons? What is the intention here, all of a sudden, to drop off weapons? How does he gain from this?
I mean, the intention is certainly, you know, to try to appease people so they don't take to the streets. And indeed, I agree with the BBC reporting that Serbia is full of weapons. And that really is in part why people actually have resorted to those such violence last week. But I'll tell you something. Even during the wars in the 90s, Belgrade was filled with weapons and people never, ever resorted resorted to, like, and I don't want to say never, but people did not resort to mass shootings. However, the tensions in Serbia right now are so high that I'm absolutely not surprised why this government is trying to do anything possible to calm down people and to make sure that they don't rally on Friday, but likely those rallies to continue.
Victory Day, May 9th, 1945, the victory over the Hitlerites, celebrated throughout Europe, and here we are, Victory Day 2023. In Moscow, surprising Vladimir Putin appearing on the review stand, one tank with flying a red flag with the hammer and sickle on, rode down the main road where there were dozens, hundreds of military vehicles a year ago. How is this viewed in Serbia? Is this acknowledgement that Moscow is exhausted? How does the Vučić government regard this? Because he's been on the fence between Ukraine and Russia for some time.
Correct. But first, let me tell you something. Like, for Russian President Putin, the Victory Day is tremendously important because he has been pushing this narrative by weaponizing the history and by rewriting the history inside Russia and targeting specifically the far right groups. This morning, he again, you know, claimed that this is the real war against Russia that the West has been waging. So this is really nothing new. When it comes to, you know, Serbia, the Serbian government, Vučić, has been playing this balancing game between Russia and the West. So Serbia is one of those countries that has celebrated May the 9th, you know, as a victory day this particular week because of mass shooting. Victory Day has not been acknowledged in the way that it was in the past as a fight against, you know, Nazi. But the Russian rhetorics that this war is the continuation of Russia's fighting against the Nazi regime in Ukraine, this is like put together in the context of the Great Patriotic War that Russia has been emphasizing every single year. So I just published my article exactly on this topic in New York Post on why Victory Day matters to Russia and how Russia has been using that to rally their allies in Caucasus, but also in places such as Africa. You really just have to take a look at Russian embassies in Africa this morning, how they are portraying Russia as a victorious nation, as someone who has been actually fighting the bad guys for the past several decades. However, one thing that is quite interesting, two things that I would like to mention. Number one thing is that
we have less than a minute, Ivana. Less than a minute.
Putin has mentioned a couple of times that Russia indeed was the only country that actually fought the Nazi regime. But more importantly, I think many people forget about the Nazi Russia ties in 1939 that we should actually emphasize and to remind people that Russia has been trying to rewrite a history. So this is something that is an opportunity for the West not to allow Russia to rewrite the history.
Ivana Stratner, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.